for me, I'm not asking anyone else to buy it here, but like procrastination might not be a real thing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. You're calling shit on procrastination.
Could be. Realistically.
Commando mindset.
There was a point in my life where I literally found myself questioning my own ability over what to put on my piece of toast in the morning. I was stood there and I had a pot of peanut butter and I had a pot of jam. Put the butter on, simple. I could not for the life of me decide. Peanut butter, jam, peanut butter, jam, peanut butter, jam.
Well, like your brain got stuck?
Yeah.
About the order?
Yeah. In the moment, I was like, oh God, yeah, shall I have peanut butter? Oh, shall I have jam? Oh, no, 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 I'll have peanut butter. Oh, maybe jam. And I literally took a third person view of myself and asked myself, what the fuck are you doing? Peanut butter.
Obviously, always peanut butter first.
What were you doing? Like, what was it sort of, were you going to put peanut butter and jam on anyway?
No, I wanted one or the other.
That's
Sorry. I thought you couldn't work out the order.
No,
to put,
I
like,
not just work
peanut
out the
butter
order.
And jelly sandwich.
I
what order?
Work out what I wanted on my toast.
What were you procrastinating on that, or were you just confused?
Oh, good lead in, my friend.
Confused?
Yeah. I procrastinated. I literally looked at myself and go, who are you? How can you not make a decision over the most simple thing in life? What to
because
put on your
two
bread in
good
the morning?
Choices, bro. Like,
yeah, I was
going to
say.
Or jam.
If that was
it's
in
not
America,
easy.
They would have done it.
A waste of time. And that's what procrastination is all about, isn't it?
I was saying to you off air that a while back, my eldest, when he was about 2, I think, we left his trike outside, locking up the house to go to bed. I looked out the window and saw the trike was outside and it was going to rain. And I thought, I should bring that in. Locked the door, walked to the stairs. And got to the stairs and went, oh, no, I should bring that trike in. I went back to the door, opened the door, looked at the trike and it was starting to spit. And I was thinking, well, should I bring it in? What? I'll leave it.
Because you didn't want to get wet.
No, I don't know. I was just completely outthinking the situation. I was like,
overthinking.
Yeah, part of my brain was going, just get the fucking trike. And another part was going, why do I want to bring this trike in?
Do I need to? How wet will it get? Does it rust that quickly? Is it necessary?
Yeah, I know. Is it really going to rust over one? All these questions. I think, right, 2 minutes it must have passed by this point. Before I decided to go, just bring the fucking trike in.
Yeah.
So I bought the trike in, closed the door, locked the door, left the trike in front of the back door, went upstairs. I got to the top of the stairs and went, what if there's a fire in the night? Someone's going to run downstairs and try to go out the back door and they're going to trip over the trike, which could cause even more carnage. I should move the trike.
Are you guys touching on OCD?
No, I think indecision.
Indecision. So this podcast, the reason you guys started talking about these stories was because the title of this podcast is Getting Shit Done.
Yeah.
And we started that conversation and joined you guys in the middle of it. Procrastinating, making excuses, wasting your time, not doing your time management right, I guess, you're saying to yourself in your mind.
We're in the enactment piece of the ICE model.
We are.
We've found our inspiration. We've talked about courage over the last few episodes. You know, sorry, going back, we've set goals. We've understood our values. We've talked about courage, fear. Now we're getting shit done. Right. Now we're going to go and do it. That's where we're at. This is what we're talking about.
So where do you begin? You've got your goals. You've done your commando mindset notebook. You've got everything. Where do you begin? And I think maybe begin by recognizing what you avoid, where you procrastinate. Oh God, he's got his finger up. He jumped up.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Well, this is about getting shit done.
Yeah,
you know, I'll fucking say it now.
That
right,
was so intense.
It was intense. Shh. Fingers now against my lips. Be quiet. Let's pose a question to our listeners. Okay, listen. Wherever you're driving, if you're a family, it shouldn't be because I swear a lot. At work, we're in your earphones. Raise your hand or think to yourself, are you that person when you have a bit of rubbish and you go and put it in your bin and you realise it's full, you just push a bit harder on the rubbish and push it down, close the bin pretend you've not seen it and then scuttle off.
Avoiding taking the bins out. I do that in the sense of petrol. Like, I play petrol bingo. Like, if my car's running out, I'm like, leave it to go a bit further. How much further can it go?
Miles, 4 miles, 5 miles. You live life on the red line.
Yeah. And I have been on the motorway when it ran out completely and had to wait for someone.
When was that?
We did a road trip in France, me and some friends. It was a work thing. And we were like, let's just leave it till the next one. And yeah, we had to sort of pull over and stop. And
you broke down because we didn't fill the car with petrol.
And when you think about that, how many people, I do this, but people listening with the dentist. I've got this pain in my chest, or, well, not like a chest pain. Obviously, got chest pain. Go and see a doctor quickly.
He says, pointing at his shoulder.
Yeah.
Just so you know the personality of what's in front of
Ben's
me. It's an
lungs
ape.
And heart are in his shoulder.
I wear it on my sleeve. This is part of my sleeve.
Yeah, heart on your sleeve, yeah.
But it is true, isn't it? You know, is that a bit of an ache? Shall I go get it in my teeth? Oh, shall I go to the dentist? I haven't had an ache in a while. Do I need to go to the dentist? People put that stuff off.
Yeah.
People put that stuff off. People put putting the bins out. You know, we put an extra cup on the side instead of actually putting it in the dishwasher or just washing it up. The doctors, well, that's a bit of cramp. Is anything
worse
than that?
That's stuff we don't want to do, right? That's just laziness.
But it's stuff we should do.
And it's easy to do.
And breeds bad habits.
Oh, okay.
And this is what procrastination, I suppose, is linked to, is poor habits. That getting shit done is the habit of, right, I'm in the now. Here's the chance to do it. I'll do it. Mm. Whereas procrastinators go, the opportunity's here. I'll wait. You know, I'm in my comfort zone.
What's the difference between laziness and procrastination?
I think they're pretty closely linked, to be honest with you. Because laziness is kind of like, can I be bothered to do that? Is it important enough to me to want to do it right now?
Whereas procrastination is like, it's important, but you don't do it anyway, you avoid it.
Yeah, I think, and that probably is partly linked to prioritization.
Yeah, so what are the reasons for procrastinating? Let's imagine the person wants to do something, right? It's not like, I don't want to take the buttons out, I can't be bothered, I'll leave it to someone else. But like, you know, wanting to achieve a goal, but procrastinating.
Do you know, I saw this, and I worked for, I worked as an EA once, executive assistant.
No, it explains a lot.
I worked as a PA.
Did you?
For a porn channel.
Wow.
And now you got our listeners listening.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, I had to help make the schedules and the diaries. And it was a PA for the guy who owned the channel. So I kind of helped him out with his stuff, but then also had to take 30.
Can you just clarify stuff?
His stuff.
It's a porn channel.
No, but
people
it's corporate.
Are thinking at home, wonder what stuff is.
Yeah. No, his things were like a diary.
Helped him out with his stuff, did you?
No. I was a PA to a guy who owned a porn channel. And he, you know, ran that channel and helped launch channels in the same way. Like, what's on the TV, what the content is, is irrelevant. It was more launching the channel and the broadcasting of it. But equally, I did have to take 30 nurses' outfits to the laundrette once.
Wow.
Yeah, they looked at me strange.
I bet.
Got the job done, though.
So with that, did you ever find then that you being an EA or PA or whatever it was, that you found yourself with a massive to-do list?
Mm.
Or the director had a massive to-do list? And you'd revisit that to-do list probably, what, twice a week? Maybe once every week? Every single week? And actually, because there was no sort of end point on this to-do list, just things kept getting added to the to-do list.
Yeah, there are pros and cons to lists, right? Some people love it. I love lists,
right?
Personally.
Lists are good, but then the things that have been on there for a long, long time, suddenly things were more important.
Yeah,
you know, and therefore it goes back to that idea of prioritization.
Well, a list has to be achievable for a start, because if you make a list that's too much, you're just going to be stressed, and then you're not going to bother doing it at all.
Yeah, I think. There's an idea. I think it was Warren Buffett who said it, and he talks about achieving objectives, kind of like your priorities, I suppose, your lists. And he said, write down everything that you want to do. So you got a massive to-do list. Circle the top three. Get rid of the rest of the list.
Okay. Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is all what procrastination is part of, is identifying the things that actually are important.
Is that realistic, though? Because I feel like life needs you to do a lot. Like, life is demanding.
Life is demanding, but when you start doing it, you can kind of, you get more done.
Because yeah, if you look at the whole list, you're not going to do anything. If you look at those three, at least three get done.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can look at the list in a couple of days' time and be like, yeah, achieved 1, 2. Oh, right, let's repopulate the list of three again. Mm. Because now, suddenly, I've completed 2 out of 3. I need to put 2 more back on to make 3.
That actually goes straight back to lessons that you taught us with your 32-week Royal Marine Commando training and that covering it up. So it's one step at a time.
I think what you're saying there as well, I read a book by Brian Tracy called Eat That Frog.
Yes.
Such a simple book, which just put procrastination. It's very goal related, but also just getting your shit done.
Yeah.
And he speaks about it's quite an elaborate hypothetical way of speaking.
But it's brilliant. It actually helped me a lot.
Yeah. And he says, have you read it? Well, for those who don't know what it is, Brian Tracy, Google Eat That Frog. But he basically gives the idea that if you had a load of frogs in a bowl, or some sort of basket, and you had to eat them. There's no choice. This is hypothetical. You have no choice. He said you'd take the biggest, ugliest, fattest one first and eat it. Because after that, the rest aren't going to seem that bad.
Okay.
And it's he talks about the idea of this helps with avoiding procrastination. Because if you can get the worst, hardest, shittest job done first, the rest are going to seem a little bit easier, which means you're going to gain a bit of traction throughout the day. So your list, you see it all the time. People set so many lists. And you look at just meetings alone, people send agendas and you're like, Christ, we've got to get through all that.
Yeah.
We'll start with the toughest subjects first. And then everything's a bit lighter from there. So people will feel more enthused by it. You could do that with your goals. You can do that with your daily tasks. What needs doing? Car needs washing. Needs to do hoovering. Wash the car first.
Do the hardest thing first.
And then Hoover.
So I didn't read the book, but I was given a quote from that book, the frog thing, and I was given it in a slightly different translation. I was told, hypothetically, if you had to eat a frog in the day. So I had to inject myself every day after having my son, some sort of complicated shit. And so I was like, Christ, that's not fun. I'm not a nurse. I don't know how to inject. I'm not into this. And I had to inject myself every day. And I was like, ah, shit, what time do I want to do this? When do I want to do it? And you put it off and you don't want to do it. And someone told me to just eat the frog. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, just eat the frog. It's like, if you had to eat a frog every day, one big frog every day, would you do it first thing in the morning so that you then can chill for the rest of the day? Or would you spend the whole day worrying about how in the evening you got that frog to eat, which ruins your day?
Yeah.
So he said, get up in the morning, inject yourself first thing, eat that frog.
I think that's really important. And for me, I'm not asking anyone else to buy it, but like procrastination might not be a real thing. It might also be an idea of being completely overwhelmed.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. That makes so much sense. You're saying like procrastination's bullshit. You're calling shit on procrastination.
Could be, realistically. Because ultimately you just feel overwhelmed. So therefore that sense of being overwhelmed means you don't do anything. Therefore the byproduct is procrastination.
Ben, he's right.
I don't know.
He's so right.
No, I still think laziness is linked to procrastination. So people can sit there. Take the comfort zone, for example. All right, so you got your training program.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the marathon runner, for example. And this is a discussion. It's not an argument. But you're sat there and the rain's tapping on the window. You're training in the evening. The rain's tapping on the window. It's cold. It's January. You're hungry. Like, remember we posed the situation. The bolognese is getting cooked by your husband and wife. The red wine's on the side. Mm-hmm. It's comfortable. You've still got to tick that box off to go and do that training run. Now, is that laziness? You're not overwhelmed by the situation. You're not overwhelmed.
You're overwhelmed by the decisions of, oh my God, there's a lot. I don't want the rain. It's an emotional overwhelm.
So you're going to wait. You're going to wait only until it's a nice summery evening to go for your run.
Well,
then that's laziness. It's not procrastination either.
No, you can procrastinate. Why do you have to push it right to the next day? Why don't you go out and do that run? It's because it's not comfortable. That's not overwhelm. That's laziness and procrastination. We remember what we said at the beginning. They're pretty much interlinked. They're the same thing.
Well, it's laziness and bad decision making. You're choosing the wine and pasta over running out.
But what did we say the other week when we're talking about how this actually affects your mindset? Mm. If you can go out and push yourself through the door and go, it's raining, it's shit, I get it. But I'm going to feel good when I get in. 4 pleasure chemicals, endorphins, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin. You're going to come in, you're going to feel good. You're going to feel energized. And you're going to think to yourself, do you know what? I didn't want to go out, but I did. Jocko Willink said one of the best things I've ever heard. And he said, ex-Navy SEAL, look him up. When it comes to exercise, even if you don't feel like doing it, do it anyway, because going through the motions is better than sitting on your fucking ass.
Yeah.
Now that is avoiding procrastination.
I think it's part procrastination, definitely.
I joined like a hot yoga thing near me. Mm-hmm. And I
do hot yoga, do you?
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it? Where would we just come from?
Hot yoga.
We're all very sweaty.
All progressed. We sat and we said, we even said, like, yeah, should we just do another pod instead? Should we do that? And that wasn't laziness, that wasn't procrastination, that was just trying to find the right way of managing time. But we knew that it was difficult to do. We knew it would be uncomfortable. And we knew long term, for us to do more pods the next day and feel energized, that it was the right thing to do.
I just want to let our listeners know there's a bit of a weird thing going on here at the moment, isn't there? So we turned up
right now
at the Duck House. Hang on, and just you'll see what I'm talking about.
Where the hell is he going?
We turned up at the Duck House, didn't we?
Yeah.
And there's a
I'm nervous.
Clearly a lady who owns this place.
Right.
And the Duck House is separated, isn't it, from the house?
Yes.
This little thing. We've been in here for almost 3 days straight with the fucking curtains drawn. And the only time she's seen us is when we're looking all very sweaty and she can see the camera through the window.
Mm.
There's not a chance in hell she doesn't think we're filming a porno.
For sure she thinks we're
Yeah, and look at us all huddled around microphones going, so what's procrastination to you? Should we go and do hot yoga? She's in there going, they're fucking filming some sort of mad thing.
I rented the house out to porno.
Yeah,
people.
I'm going to charge them extra.
She probably just thinks like
she's Googling us right
avid
now.
Photographers, microphones, they'd probably like to sing a song, and then
she's
the
not
computers.
Seen the mics and from an angle these
and
look like
he's
something
just being
different
nice. He's just being nice because she winked at him and he's like, what, she likes me, treat her nice.
And the computers, she's just like, oh, probably a writer in there as well.
All three of us are writing a pop-up book.
Yeah,
no,
one's a writer, one's a singer, and one's a photographer.
Bro, she blatantly thinks,
mate, through the window these don't look like mics, they look like something completely different.
big mics. Big mics.
Anyway. Yeah, so back to the conversation of procrastination. We're procrastinating and actually getting to the point.
Was that a point?
No, I was just right. I just wanted our listeners
we
to know.
We went to hot yoga. That's
yeah,
the point.
Yeah,
we went to hot yoga. We did it.
And I've gone on and digressed. So our listeners, it's integral, isn't it?
I'm running with you on this one. I'm calling bullshit on procrastination. I think it's a word that sort of is pulling in a middle sense between laziness and bad decision making.
This is my feeling. As I go through the journey of life, I'm just wondering about procrastination.
Is that because you've turned the corner with it? Now, all three of us, I would argue, aren't procrastinators.
I do actually think you've got a point. Going back to what I originally said at the start of this, like, was I overwhelmed? Was I overwhelmed by peanut butter and jam? Or did I just have the inability to make a decision at that point? Is the inability to make a decision procrastination?
But that's oversimplifying it because, you know, in your life that day, the day before, and all the other shit that happens can be so overwhelming that when it comes to making a simple decision, you can't even cope with that. Like a straw on the camel's back kind of vibe. Like I find when my life is super stressful, the little decisions people ask me to do, I can't even make them because I'm overwhelmed in life. So your jam and peanut butter drama isn't as simple as the jam peanut butter. It was a super stressful week, day, and everything else going on in your mind.
Because I suppose ultimately is like getting shit done is the vibe here, and procrastination is. I think that's open for debate.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hear that. Made me go.
Moot like, point.
Yeah.
Not mute. Moot.
Moot. I can't believe you said moot.
Moot.
I haven't heard moot.
MOOT.
You can tell we've all done hot yoga. We've got a bit of enthusiasm injected back into us here.
So listen.
I read a book ages ago. I actually listened to his audiobook, and it was The 5 Second Rule by Mel Robbins. And it's worth it.
I love Mel Robbins.
Do you?
Yeah, Jenny. Yeah.
I think some of her work's awesome. In this book, I don't know where I kind of went with that reaction.
Do you?
I think it's just the way you reacted. I love Mel Robbins. That's
Mel, if you're listening.
What's the 5 second rule? Jesus Christ.
Mel,
guys.
Get in touch. 5 second rule. Anyway, so she posed the idea of she was watching one of the Cape Canaveral launches at NASA, and the whole 10 second countdown thing just stuck in her head for some reason. And then 10 down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Seven.
Yeah. And the 5 second rule, she did a bit of research around it and found that if you can interrupt your irrational way of thinking against your feelings and your limbic system talking to you saying, do this, make this decision. Let's say it's a bad decision. Limbic system, let's say the rain's tapping on the window
What's a limbic system?
So the limbic system's like your irrational part of your brain. Dr. Stephen Peters coined it as the chimp part. Within the chimp paradox.
So there's a part of your brain that's irrational?
There's many parts of your brain.
But the prefrontal cortex is kind of like the analytical part of the brain.
It's rational. Mm-hmm. So your limbic's irrational. Your frontal cortex is rational.
Right.
So when the rain's tapping on the window and you can smell the bolognese cooking and you hear the bottle of red wine popping and you know you've got a marathon training to do tonight, your irrational behaviour will be going, oh, just stay in. It'll be nice and tasty. You'll have your food shortly. Or it'll be good. It'll be good. If you can interrupt this way of thinking, and this is how Mel posed it, was just count back from five. When you're aware of this, I don't want to go for a run because it's raining. 5, 4, 3, go and just walk towards your trainers. You've interrupted that way of thinking.
So during your 5-second countdown, act upon the original act.
Yeah, if you get to zero, you've probably fucked it. And most people can probably relate to this when you think of the snooze button.
Mm-hmm.
Snooze button goes off. If you can interrupt your way of thinking when your hand's wandering towards snooze, sorry, your alarm goes off and you're wandering towards snooze, you go, nah, 5 more minutes. If you can count those 5 seconds, and trust me, I've tried this myself. And
I have done it.
It affects you so well when you just go 5, 4, oh, fuck it. Don't press snooze, press off and get up. Just get up. Just get out of bed.
Within those 5 seconds.
Because once you've committed, you're not probably going to go back. The week will go back. And I like posing the word weak because there'll be people listening going, oh, I don't want to be weak.
I'm not weak. Yeah.
So once you're out of bed, once you've pressed off and start heading out of bed, you're committed.
It's done.
And there's no going
back. The commitment's strong. That's the point I was getting to with me joining yoga.
The chemical reaction starts.
Because, yeah, I was, I joined it. I had to fly away for a week. The work gets in the way all the fucking time. Nothing I can do about that. And when I came back, I was super sick. I was really like super sick, like planes, long journeys, you exhaust you and da da da. And my husband wakes me up the next morning. He's like, oh, you've got yoga. It's like 5:30 in the morning. And I was like, no, I'm ill. Like, I've just traveled. I've just done with this. I'm not going to do it. And he's like, well, if you can do it when you're sick, it's going to be so much easier when you're not. I was like, fuck you for being fucking perfect. But, you know, and I did it. And I pushed it and I went, even though I was exhausted and everything. And then actually, everything else is easier. Getting up at 5:30 when you're healthy and well is so
easy.
It's
training this mindset.
The discipline.
So, yeah, and the discipline of creating good habits where we're going to talk in the next episode about adversity, but everything we spoke about in the last few episodes about what you value, you know, your inspirations, your goals, what you're working towards, if you can do it when you're at your weakest, think how good you'll be when you're at your strongest.
Mm-hmm.
So that moment when you are, we're not encouraging people to go and crack marathon training when you've got like horrific flu. You need to manage yourself. There's a degree of rational thinking behind this, clearly. In fact, it's all rational, but be sensible. But when you're just a bit tired and lethargic, just go anyway. And even if you're not going
to
run as quick.
Don't lie to yourself.
Yeah, just because you actually feel worse 20 minutes later after making the decision. Again, the research by many psychologists and obviously brought to light by the chimp paradox of Dr. Stephen Peters is this idea of going, I made the decision not to do it. I wish I didn't. I feel good because I'm drinking a red wine bolognese. Guarantee it, half an hour later, you're going to go, are you idiot? I should have gone.
It's never worth it.
It's not. So, which is why, are you inspired by your goals? Are they inspired by your inspiration? Do you feel genuinely driven? So when it's shit, when it's raining, you've struck adversity, you've had a setback, it's not going to plan, you still go.
Yeah.
That avoids procrastination.
I think actually there could be an argument for procrastination here because as you know...
Is there? Because you're not picking on one
the
whatsoever.
The best part of the pod so far was you calling bullshit on it. Don't go back.
I'm
with
back.
You.
Okay. All right. We'll go with it. But getting shit done.
You wobbled there. Go with what you want to say. Don't
go
let Layla get to your head.
I was on the precipice of indecision.
Again.
Are you overwhelmed?
I was overwhelmed.
It's almost having a peanut butter jam sandwich moment.
So
again.
You know when, I've got a home gym at home, right?
Look at me, I've got a gym.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hang on.
Get
sorry.
To the
right.
Some
you
dumbbells.
Sound like a pretentious. Right. It's a couple of rusty dumbbells.
That's the word he's looking for.
A squat rack and a punch bag. Yeah, it's a home gym. I get it. But there's people at home going, you overpaid, motherfucker. They're thinking marble walls, inside sort of.
Oh, do you know what?
There's
actually
things,
a piece of marble there because there was a square that we were going to have our kitchen.
Right. It's in your shed. I've been there.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got some gym equipment at home.
I've got some gym equipment. It's not a gym, right? Okay. So it's a gym. In my mind, it's a gym, right?
My home gym.
And literally this happened, this shows my vulnerability. Okay, so this happened Tuesday. I wanted to wake up and do exercise, but my son woke up at 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, demanded to go downstairs and watch television. I was like, this is unworkable.
And kids are the worst for procrastinating though for us, aren't they?
It's hard. God, it's
they so just hold you back.
But that's never a waste of time. That's not. No,
it's not an easy use as well.
It's never like that's okay.
So anyway, get on with the day. He maybe goes to sleep at like 4 or 4:30.
Wait, you went down and let him watch TV at 3 a.m.
I was so tired.
Yeah,
I just was in the zone. I was like, yeah, obviously, let's do exactly what you want to do. Let's go and watch Paw Patrol at 3:30. I did have to check. Yeah, I had to check myself in the mirror and go, not the bitch.
When was that in the day? Like 5 hours later.
3:45.
So your little lad's watching Paw Patrol at 3 a.m. So
yeah, he's well,
and you'll have like, an yeah, affirmations in the mirror. He's downstairs. You're not a fucking bitch. Get a grip of yourself.
Paw Patrol doesn't own you. You own Paw Patrol.
You pay the Sky bill.
Yeah. Anyway, so my wife wakes up and she's like, honestly, what are you doing with your life? Why have you let your son control you?
Wait, do you then sleep on the sofa next to him?
No.
Hey,
I was
it.
Like, God, yeah, I literally had this enlightened moment. I was like, what am I doing with my life? Anyway, so I went and lied next to him, put him to bed anyway. So basically what happened is I had a very, very disturbed night, which meant I couldn't do my exercise at 6:30. I had it planned in my head, I pre-planned it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to my home gym, which isn't really home gym, which is like a squat rack and like a punch bag and some stuff. And I didn't do it. I didn't get up at 6:30 because I was like tired.
You were up at 3 watching Paw Patrol, I understand. Right. Yeah. Right.
So but I didn't get up at 6:30, left it till 7. I was like, okay, so everyone's asleep. But I was still tired throughout the day. And so the kids go to nursery, wife goes to work, and I'm home just like doing bits around the house, you know, doing bits for the business as well. 10 o'clock. Yeah, yeah, I'll do exercise at 10 o'clock. No, I'll do it's 10 o'clock. Oh, I can't be bothered. I'll do exercise at 11. This kind of carried on till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And then it's actually him who was just like, just go out there and go through the motions. What he was talking about earlier, it went through just my head at 2:30 and I was like, right, 3 o'clock, you're getting into the gym.
It's almost like stop yourself from thinking. Yeah, don't think about it.
You know what? The feeling that I wanted to have was the after feeling. I was like, shit, mate, I don't want to go out there because it was raining. You know how bad the rain's been right now, right?
Yeah.
And it was cold and it was windy. And I was like, this is just not inspiring me to go out there. But what is inspiring me is the feeling after. Like, I want those endorphins. Did a 35-minute exercise. God, I felt so good after.
Obviously, yeah.
But I'm so glad I got the shit done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that really alludes to a point which has been happening recently. And obviously, we're pre-recording these. And it's what we've done, Storm Dennis and Kiara. And I said to you, I've been going, and I mentioned it on a couple of podcasts already, that I actually enjoyed going out in them, as shit as it was to prove a point to myself that, fuck it, if I can do it now, I can do it anytime.
That I'm a hard bastard.
Yeah, pretty much. But I was...
Ooh, you're hard.
Right, is this going to be a grown-up conversation or... Anyway,
it is now, yeah.
But I was putting it on social, just putting it on my story, and people were messaging going... Oh, that right. I'm going out just because I've seen you do it. So it's
okay. So I'm going to call you out on that. Did you do it for yourself or did you do it for the gram?
I did it for myself.
Good man.
And then enjoyed the gram afterwards.
Yeah, and a little bit of
double
the gram.
Dose of endorphins.
Double dose of dopamine. But it was nice to sort of not even think about that and then get messages saying, oh, I've just been out because I saw your video. And you're like, actually, by setting an example or just being like, fuck it, I'm going to go and do it. What actually happened was I put a load of people at risk who then went, yeah, I'm going to go out in a storm in falling trees and pylons and stuff. Yeah. But actually it was genuinely like, it was quite humbling to go, these people actually been inspired by me just going,
you're
fuck
so
it.
Irresponsible.
I know, yeah, I really didn't think about that. Always train in the correct weather and suitable kit. But no, it does mean something. And I think we talk about this all the time, about setting examples, surround yourself with excellence. Who do you follow online? Who is it that you follow on social media that also makes you go, fuck it, yeah, I'm going to go and do
follow
it
today. Follow Ben, because he'll inspire you to run in the rain.
Yeah, follow @Ben_Williams_CM. But it is true.
Shameless plug.
And shameless plug.
Always does he have to do press ups for that one?
No. It's only around that thing.
Okay.
The book.
Oh! Yes. 25 press ups. That was so smart.
I did the psychology. Respect.
Touch.
That was a terrible fist bump, but we'll roll with it.
Yeah. We all know you got a book, Ben. Shut up about the book.
Yeah.
That's now 75 press ups for the day.
Come on, a mindset. Just type it in on Amazon. You'll find it.
By Ben Williams. Where are we at? Okay, so. Calling bullshit and procrastination, that's still a debate. But the idea of feeling overwhelmed is very much a reason why people procrastinate. Right. So cut out your overwhelming feeling by breaking it down.
I'll tell you what is difficult with overwhelm, though, is time. Mm. How many people would you speak to? And we were at a company the other week, weren't we, where they were saying, I haven't got fucking time to do this. Literally, some bloke in a boardroom
said
that to
us. I haven't got time. I don't think they used the F word.
No, they did. Because it was an open forum. Yeah, you got to stop doing that.
What?
Just go with the flow. There was loads of swearing. Twat. But no, they were we don't have enough time to do what we're trying to do here, you know, create a new culture change program. We just need to get on with what we're doing at the moment. Where does I have not got enough time be a reason before it becomes an excuse?
Mm.
Hang on. Let my brain process that. Because the thing with time, like, I remember someone saying to me, I can't comprehend the fact that Beyonce has exactly the same amount of hours in the day that we do. It's like,
I got a real problem with this.
Go for it.
Well, mate, you're on one tonight. Honestly,
I do have a real problem with this.
I'm not being your bonnet tonight.
People like, oh yeah, you know, let's send out the message. Everybody's got 24 hours in a day. Like, yes. But they have a lot more freaking resources to enable them to have more hours in the day. So, okay, appreciate that. At some point, Beyonce, right? No disrespect her, great lady, love it, love the music, awesome. But at some point, she was probably at the starting point of where the person who's receiving the message now goes, everybody's got 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
She did something pretty spectacular in those 24 hours, but it built over time.
Yes.
This is the thing I have. People are like, you cannot do a direct comparison between your life and Beyonce's life. She's got a lot more people that support the time.
That's
and
like
so
I get
so
furious with working mums or glamorizing working mums when bitch has got two nannies at home. It's like, don't be trying to tell everyone, like, I'm a working mum too.
Right.
And it's like, oh wow, and you've managed all this. And it's like over glamorizing. Firstly, over glamorizing not being with your kids, like, it's a cool thing. That's, I don't like think that's an awesome thing to be. Like, I get annoyed when people say to me, like, oh wow, it's amazing that you run a business and you have your kid, and like, that's so awesome. How do you manage it? And I was like, it's not awesome. I miss my kid. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah,
number one problem.
Right?
Yeah. But then you have in the limelight a lot of these working mums trying to sell their idea of big business, but it's like, yes, you've also got someone else taking care of your kid all the time. You got this and resources that are enabling you to do that that not everyone else has, and we shouldn't compare.
I'm in massive agreement with what we're both saying there. And I think what you allude to with Beyonce is the more successful you become, actually does more time appear to achieve those things that in the first instance weren't really available. And go back to reading, let's keep it simple. You know, these self-development books, you hear a lot about gurus such as Bill Gates read 50 books a year. Warren Buffett would read 500 pages a day. And I think, whoa, that's...
Where the fuck did you get the time?
Exactly. But were you doing that at the beginning? Or were you investing all your time into what you were building to then when you began building it, it gained traction, you found success, you became a multimillionaire, people were doing the bits that you were doing before for you.
Yeah.
You know, the accountant's doing this, the CFO, everyone's doing stuff for you. Then do you suddenly find a bit more time? So, and I found that really overwhelming at first when I was going into this whole self-development, personal development journey.
Why am I not reading 50 books a year?
And I'm like literally flicking through pages going, fucking go in, information, please go in. And it's like, why can't I get through 500 pages a day or a week or whatever it is?
But that's another reason to procrastinate, because we're trying to compare ourselves to something so
far
away
overwhelming, right?
That we then become overwhelmed and we don't want to even bother trying.
I mean, you're comparing to someone who's made it. You're trying to make it.
Yeah.
But we started out. And we were using, you know, when we started out, we were literally using every single hour of the day.
God. Yeah.
We were doing 18, 19 hours a day? Early, you know, early.
Yeah.
For a good period of time. Good year, 12, 13, 14 months, solidly.
There's a lot to be said for hard work.
Right. We burnt ourselves out, but that time investment then.
Were burning ourselves out. I don't think we burnt out. I think we were almost. Yeah, we were warm. Yeah, we were hot yoga.
Yeah, we were hot yoga. We were like 50 degrees or something. So, but that time investment then now allows us more time now.
Of course. Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
Eat the frog.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like eat the frog. But
you
it's
did
also...
the hardest part first to enable to then have the pleasure.
Yeah, because ultimately that's what you, I'm pointing to Ben, and probably you as well, and certainly myself, like one of my main drivers is to have more time.
Yeah.
To do the things that I want to do, which sounds incredibly selfish.
No, sounds
But
right.
I think that's really important.
Yeah.
I've just Googled it, the meaning of procrastination.
Define it. Go on.
Okay. The action of delaying or postponing something. So is it attributed to laziness? Maybe. Is it attributed to overwhelm? Maybe. Of course it is. They're attributed to many things, but procrastination is simply just putting something off. So I think if you're listening to this, and I think openly between ourselves as well, because I still procrastinate on stuff. I put dishes on the side and looking at it and go, could put that in the dishwasher. Run away quick. Yeah. You know, the magical fairy of the house will somehow do this somewhere along the line, or I'll just do it later. I'll do it. But it's just putting something off. So I think if you're listening, ask yourself, what are you putting off? And let's go back to way before episodes and episodes before where we're talking about goal setting, inspirations, what's driving us. You know, why haven't you achieved what you want to achieve? Or why is it taking this long? Or why are we waiting to do it? Why are you waiting to do it? Are you putting it off for a reason? And you have to ask yourself, what you're aiming for, does it truly inspire you? Because if you're inspired by something, if that inspiration is deep-rooted and it gives that burning desire within, is procrastination going to be less common?
Yeah, because you could be scared.
Can I give you an example of
the only time I procrastinate is due to fear.
Which is something else we've covered.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that the goal you had was wrong because you're procrastinating.
No, that's not what I was alluding to. It's saying if you're... say people aim for things to achieve because other people are doing it.
Yeah.
So then it's easy to procrastinate when you're like, well, he's doing a marathon, so I'm going to maybe go and do a marathon. But when the weather comes in, he goes out and trains and you stay at home and go,
it's not an intrinsic inspiration for you.
But if you're driven by that, you're more likely to go out in the rain, correct? Mm-hmm. So it's where the burning desire is as well. Fear is a great thing. What did we talk about in the last podcast was actually fear is a driver as well. Fear, this procrastination of should I just go for it? What about if I can't feed the kids? Fuck it. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Does a sense of being overwhelmed lead to procrastination? And I say that because I was working in the city as a consultant. And to be honest with you, I would only check my emails at a certain point in the day. And some emails I wouldn't even respond to because I really believed that if they were important enough, the person would call me.
Silence is powerful.
Right? Now, maybe that wasn't the right attitude. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know, but I didn't want to be overwhelmed by my inbox.
I kind of like what you say there, but also it can be flipped. Does procrastination then lead to overwhelm?
I think it could do.
Mm. Yeah, of course it could. Again, this is another perspective thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because if you procrastinate longer, then there's more decisions you're going to have to make later on.
Yeah, the list gets bigger.
It's not going to get easier, it's going to get harder.
What we're all saying, what's the actual important stuff? Because I've left loads of stuff and actually it's gone away. Because it's not that important.
Are you talking about my inbox now? Tom has got.
You ignore Ben long enough, fucks off. Is that
no, it's the other way around. Tom has got a thing about my inbox, email inbox administration.
Honestly, if you're listening to this, I've never seen a worse inbox in my life, my professional career.
What do you mean? What's wrong with his inbox?
Well, that's it. It's an inbox.
Huh?
Yes. He's got no structure to it. It just says.
Are you talking
inbox.
About a physical box? Or are you talking about?
I'm talking about an email inbox.
What do you mean? It's got no structure to it.
It just says inbox.
Thank you.
Come on. Is it? Is no like right? Well, you know, I get 60 emails a day. Oh, I'll just leave them all. And then I've got 500 unread messages, emails. Where is everything? Oh, I don't know. It's in my inbox. Oh, so you don't take the things. When the messages come in, you don't go, oh, that's associated to this channel of work or this thing, invoicing, taxing, accounting. Oh, no, it's just in my inbox.
Ooh.
So it's in your whole your vat of emails.
So it's like he's got a desk and he's put everything on the desk and you have loads of fucking drawers.
On sticky notes.
You guys are so different. It's brilliant.
Honestly, the amount of times I've had to ring him and he's gone, mate, have you seen that email? And I'm like, could you send it again?
Oh,
like,
no. Yeah. So why don't you tidy your inbox?
Pardon?
And how come you don't find it overwhelming?
I don't know. It's just the way I've done.
Because he ignores it.
Right. That's procrastinating.
Don't tell. There might be clients listening to this right now and go, that's why he's not fucking emailed me.
Yeah, no. He doesn't ignore
email Tomo instead.
Yeah. Go to Tomo. But no, going back to the point, I think it flips on both ways. You can be overwhelmed, which makes you procrastinate. I think you can then also be a procrastinator, which then leads to overwhelm because the list gets bigger.
Yeah.
So there's two ways of looking at it.
There's two sides of the same.
Either way, procrastinating ain't helping anyone.
But I'd like to make a point from the military side of life, you know, where we have come from. My inbox is full, but I don't procrastinate on other stuff. And I don't really, let's be honest, I don't procrastinate my inbox. I just, there's no flow to it. Tomo's has got all sorts of fucking files everywhere, which confuses me. So yours is honestly like a Rubik's Cube, but let's not
stop
go down that route.
Stop picking on each other and just get on with it.
Why'd you bring up the inbox?
Anyway,
in the military, there was no room for procrastination. Procrastination in some ways would get you killed. Now, this doesn't get installed in battle. It gets installed in training, in the 32 weeks of training, the build-up. There was something called a military practice, basically, within mainly infantiers. I think it's not just a Marine thing. The paras and British infantry will know what we're talking about. But it's wet and dry. And wet and dry is basically associated to... she went really weird then.
No, it's...
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just wanted. I thought I could hear something. I want to make sure.
Yeah, that was me talking.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Anyway, so wet and dry is it's a training practice that then leads to an actual practice. So you do an exercise. So when you go out in winter time, boggy areas, lakes, etc., if you got wet, you can't stay in your wet kit when you're sleeping. So you would pack two sets of kit.
Get into your sleeping bag wet.
No.
Because a sleeping bag keeps you alive in the cold.
Yeah.
It keeps you warm, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you'd pack a spare shirt, loads of socks, loads of pants, and a spare set of trousers. You would then go into the field wearing your jacket, trousers, and dress like a soldier. When it would rain, or you would go for a bog, or you'd fall in some sort of water feature, you would just get wet. You would need to get out that clothing at some point. Now, the idea in the field is that you stay in that wet kit the majority of the time. You know, it's just man up, woman up, get on with it. It actually keeps you awake as well, that type of thing. I mean, cold and wet, you sort of just stay awake, which keeps you quite alert. But there's a time and a place to then what we call administrate yourself, which is to then get out of that wet kit and into dry kit. So you'd go on patrol, maybe you'd do a navigation exercise. And this was taught within the first sort of few weeks of training. I think it's taught within the first week of training. How to take off your wet top and put your dry top on, then take off your wet bottoms, put your pants on, then dry bottoms on. And you don't do it all at once. You don't just get naked in the field, do you? Because if you get hit or you get ambushed at that point, you're just going to be stood there with your...
Vulnerable.
With your tackle out.
Yeah.
So it's one bit at a time. That also limits how much you're exposing pink skin in a green area.
Right.
So it's very gradual, but you've got to do it quite quickly. There's nothing shitter than it being mid-January, you're on Dartmoor, you're 3 or 4 or 5 days into an exercise, it's not real, you get wet, and then when you need to get into your sleeping bag at, let's say, 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night when the day is finished, to get out that wet kit and put the dry kit on and then get in your sleeping bag, that's actually the nicer part of it. You then get a knock on the head, so there'll be about 8 people in your section, which means you're probably likely to do sentry twice, which means go on guard. So you'll get a knock on the head maybe at, say, you go to bed at about 11, you've cleaned your weapon, you start to sleep after doing your first wet and dry routine. You get a knock on the head at 2 o'clock. You're on sentry. So then you have to get out your sleeping bag. You put your sleeping bag away.
No.
You will then take your wet top.
You know what's coming.
Take your dry clothes.
You take your dry clothes off one by one. Then you'll put your wet top on.
No.
Dry off, dry trousers off, wet trousers on. Now, this is, it makes my hair stand up thinking how horrible it can be. Now, the wind would blow through these wood blocks. You would feel the cold. You would then have all your wet kit on. You would then walk over to your sentry position. You would relieve the guy who's there and you say, it's your time to go back to your pit. Off you go, back to your bag, sleeping bag. And then it'll be your turn to lie there. Now, in an exercise situation where there's no threat, this isn't real. It's just to exercise the routine of being a soldier. You then lie there for an hour, maybe in the rain, in the wind, in the cold, in wet clothes, looking at a sheep. The most dangerous thing is a sheep. Then someone, it'll be your turn to go and relieve the get the next person up. Mate, you're up. Be there in 10 minutes. They then conduct that. You're waiting. They come and relieve you. You then go back to your sleeping bag. Then you conduct the wet and dry routine again. Then a couple of hours later, it'll be your turn to go back on sentry again. So you get the knock, you conduct the routine again. Then you have to do something in the morning called stand two, which means everyone gets up before first light because the most vulnerable point's being attacked is at last light and first light. So you always stay awake at last light till the sun's gone down. You'll always be up before the light comes up. So you have to conduct wet and dry again. So you're constantly getting in and out your cold, wet clothes into your nice warm bag and then back out again. So within an evening, within a whole night, you've probably done it maybe
three times, four times.
And it's so shit. It's so shit. Now, in the first few weeks of training, you're getting watched doing it. Maybe in the first half of training, you're getting watched doing it. There'll be a corporal looming around, training instructor, making sure his recruits are doing it. When you get into the more tactical phases of training, the later stages of training, where the onus is more on you, you know, they will check here and there, but it's a lot more about you doing it because you know you should be doing it. Then when you pass out of training, you actually become a Marine. No one watches you.
Yeah.
And it becomes a very grown-up moment when you're like, it's easy for me to just be in my bag, get the knock to say you're on sentry, just put a load of Gore-Tex clothing on, which will keep me waterproof for a while, go and lie over there, watch the sheep, and then come back.
But you never don't. Do it.
And the point is that when no one's watching, you still do the shittest tasks. And there's a big thing in our world where we've come from is it's what you do in the shadows matters most. So when you don't want to be doing it, and you can read wet and dry, we talk to corporate clients about it all the time, where people go, yeah, but this part of the job doesn't inspire me, or this part of the admin task doesn't inspire me. It's like, do you know what? Fucking suck it up. Because you've got to do it anyway. Not every part of your job is going to inspire you. But if you can do the really shit stuff well, you're going to be well good at the good stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's massively important. And we, as Ben said, we speak about it, speak to clients about it, businesses, and they're often complaining, like you said, you know, about, yeah, this is rubbish. The admin part of it is pants. I don't want to do it. And the reality is, when you think of a Marine, you know, if I was to ask you, what do you think of a Royal Marines Commando? You would probably say something like, camouflaged up, yeah, dagger between the teeth, killing guys on the front line, or whatever, right? That's about 10% of the actual job. 90% of it is shit. It's a hurry up and wait. You know, you do so much. And then you just wait around. But that 10% is so good, it makes up for the 100% of the job.
It's like 90% of it is inaction.
You don't want to do 9%. You have to learn to clean your weapon. You have to do the wet and dry routines. You have to go on long patrols in and out of operations, peacetime. You have to learn things that no one wants to do. Some of the stuff in the military, and I think anyone listening who's been in the military can sort of relate to this, is there's stuff you do that you just think, what the fuck are we doing this right now? But everything's got a point. Mm. And elite gets tagged to elite players, organizations, elite military, because it's not what you're doing at that moment in combat where it's so effective, and it's people look at you and go, look how clinical, look how they think, look how they operated that, look how this, look how that. It's everything behind closed doors when no one else is looking. That makes that bit, let's say on the pitch, that 90 minutes on the pitch for a football player, when he's at his best, It's not what's happening on the pitch. You're good, you're skilled to a point, but it's everything off the field that you're doing which matters to that. And that's the 90% board and the 10% action. You know, think how much a football player trains every week, but they play 90 minutes of football. That's it. Everything counts up to this point. A fighter's life is for those 15 minutes in the cage. Mm. Those 12 rounds of 3 minutes, I think what it is. But the camp's, what, 3-4 months long? But everyone's like, oh, they didn't perform that well in the ring, or, oh, they were stunning in the ring, or look at that goal they scored. David Beckham spent hours, absolute hours, kicking that ball into a tyre in the top left of the corner on the pitch at the back of his house.
But do you know how he started? So he started in his back garden of his mum's house. Literally, as soon as he got in from school, he was there doing kick-me-ups. Mm. 1, 2, 10, 20. And then he got to 286, apparently, as the story goes. And he was like, I think I can probably do enough kick-me-ups, keep-me-ups. So they'll progress on to the next thing. The next thing was the tyre.
Yeah. And
you have to start basic.
Yeah. I've had great conversations with Harry Kane about this type of stuff, where I've asked him openly, like, mate, why are you deemed as like the country's best player for this reason at the moment? And he's so humble with it. He won't go, oh, I'm the best, because everyone's got their flaws. He's like, do you know what? I invest a bit more time. I'll get to train in an hour earlier. I'll leave an hour after everyone else, or I'll watch a YouTube video, or I'll read a book. And you just think, do you know what? That's what people should be hearing more of. And that's not him saying it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not him saying it. That's just what he does to get to his standard.
But invest a little bit more.
Invest in that 90% boredom. Invest in the shadows. Invest when no one's looking. And we were saying it in the car earlier about you use Sunday, don't you?
Yeah. I love working on
Monday.
A Sunday.
Go on.
Yeah, I love working on a Sunday at home, like getting through emails, prepping stuff, because I feel like nobody else is. I'm going to be ahead. And when Monday comes, I'm already like 10 steps ahead. I love Sundays.
You have that upper hand on your enemy.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that when you're in the field, you do stand two, which I just mentioned, where you would, when it was coming to nightfall, you half an hour, everyone would be kit packed away, weapon ready, looking out in the direction they should be looking. And they would wait, and it'd be half an hour-ish before sunset. The sun would set, and then you'd wait till it's pitch black, lying there in wait, because you're at your most vulnerable at that point. In the morning, you're up before sunrise, so it's completely pitch black. Everyone does the same routine again. Pack all your kit away, weapons ready, lying, looking in the direction you should be looking in case someone hits you. Sun will rise, you'll wait half an hour, 40 minutes, okay, stand down. Everyone crack on with your administration or whatever it is. We're up before the enemy, and we go to bed after the enemy. It's the same as that Sunday approach. And for the entrepreneurs listening, for the sports stars, so potential sports stars in the future listening, the singer who's going to take number one, there's people listening to this podcast right now. Someone will fucking accelerate to success because of what they do in the shadows, behind closed doors, when other people are sleeping and other people are procrastinating. There'll be people when the rain taps on the window, they'll go, I'll do it tomorrow. There'll be other people listening when the rain taps on the window, they'll go, I'm going out.
How do you act when no one's looking? What do you do for yourself? And we talked about getting up early in the morning, like there's that 4:30 a.m. club and everyone talks about this, that and the other. But I love how you've just mentioned what Kane said, is he does that little bit more. Like, you don't have to get up at a certain time. You might not have slept. You might be watching Paw Patrol at 3 a.m. But can you get up half an hour earlier? Half an hour.
I think you need to break it down. So take a year. A year's a good number. Everyone knows what a year is, right? It's broken down into 12 months or about. If you can break down each month and look at it and go, I want to be 0.5% better by the end of this month at whatever it is that I want to do. By the end of the year, you're 6% better as a person.
Bro, if you add half an hour every morning for 7 days, for 52 weeks, like how much time, who's good at maths? How much time do you get at the end of the year?
A lot, basically.
Right? I'm getting my phone out to my
corporal said that in training. He was like, lads, you're not going to be perfect every day, but if you can be 0.01% better than you were yesterday, you're going to be a whole lot better off at the end of the year.
Yeah, and that's a day, per day.
And it sticks. That way of thinking sticks, where there's going to be days when you want to rest on your laurels. There's going to be days when you want to give up.
182 hours?
I know.
A year?
If you wake up half an hour every... Have I calculated that right? That's amazing.
So you basically get an extra...
to 0.12.
You what?
You'd have to convert because 12 months.
So like, no, I did half an hour times by 365 days of the year.
Yeah.
Equals 10,950, but that's minutes, like 30 minutes. So divided by 60,
yeah,
182.5. So you get like 182 hours if you just woke up.
You get 7 extra days. You get a whole week.
You get a whole week a year.
And that's
the game changer. That's the game changer.
You get a whole week a year if you woke up just half an hour.
And you hear people say all the time, where's the 25th hour in the day? You know, people, we're all desperate for it. It's in there. That's an extra week in the year that you found just from getting up half an hour earlier.
Now you multiply that over 10 years. You got 10 weeks. You multiply that over the...
My brain is exploding.
Right?
You can multiply. He loves numbers. You do like numbers, don't you? Go on. I love a number. Go for one.
I do love a number. You do it over 10 years. You're like, what?
That's 10 amazing. Weeks.
You do it over 20 years. You got 20. You almost
worse still, think about it. If your competitor is doing that and you're not...
A whole year focused over 10 years on what it is that you want to achieve. Come on.
Can we summarize this? Because I'm kind of like, wow.
Time's like the new steroids, isn't it? If you can find it, it can accelerate you towards what you want to achieve.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so what we've learned so far, eat the fucking frog first thing in the morning.
Yep.
Make sure you're not overwhelmed when you're saying you're procrastinating. Make sure you double check your values and your inspiration and you are, you know, targeting the right goals. Don't let fear get in the way if you know your goals are right.
Conduct wet and dry.
Discipline. Yeah. Discipline is the key.
Yeah.
I think discipline is the absolute key in this.
And even just half an hour, if you can add just half an hour to your day, you're winning.
And I think it draws on the points that everyone knows, but like things such as taking a bit of time off tech. You know, we said about waking up earlier. Exercise actually helps you not become a procrastinator.
Dude, the amount of time I waste on Instagram, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I'm the worst at it. I speak openly and honestly. When he talks about my inbox filling up and I sometimes sort of just glare at it, I'm not far away from my phone.
What was that?
Ignore that.
What was it?
That's the first one. How many episodes is this? Six. And
six
someone's had
in.
A phone faux pas.
I didn't expect that to happen, quite honestly.
But did you press something? You were on it?
Yeah.
Mm. What did you press?
Play.
On a video?
Yeah.
Explain yourself, Tomo.
What have you done?
Because I was trying to find something that really does inspire me, which backs up the point of what we're talking about here. So I need you guys now to like continue talking for at least another 30
whilst
seconds.
You look at, yeah, we're going to make this really slick. No one will notice.
I was just talking about, you know, little things that you can make in your life, a bit time off tech. You know, even if it's half an hour a day, you know, that half an hour a day we're talking about that you could win within each day. If you get up half an hour early and you didn't spend it on Instagram, you spent it maybe behind your emails or whatever it is you need to do, would you achieve things quicker?
You can wake up half an hour earlier and have half an hour less on socials. You gain an hour a day.
Well, a lot of people also say they struggle to find time in the day to exercise. Mm. That half an hour in the morning, you do this. How good do you feel once you've exercised in the morning?
Amazing. Do you know what I did? Because I kept for so long being like, I should be able to do half an hour exercise in the morning. Why can't I? And then I decided I'm going to aim less high, right? I brought it down. There's 8 minute buns on YouTube. And I was like, I can do 8 minutes. Come on. Every motherfucker can do 8 minutes. Stop like being difficult. And I said, instead of aiming for half an hour, I'm going to aim for 8 minutes. And I'm going to do 8 minute buns every day for 21 days because I heard that 21 days is enough to break it to start a new habit. And I did 8 minute buns. Believe it or not, within a year, I'd started adding more time. And I did 8 minute buns and 8 minute abs. And then I was doing, you know, two sets. And then I did a yoga and did a, I do half an hour of YouTube videos every day. Easy
I think
now.
That's such a great thing you say there, which is just reminding me of something I've started trialing myself as well. And I say trial, it's actually really working. Is add that, we were talking to a company not long ago about this, but do that 10% more every time you do something. So you're saying you do 8 minutes of activity in the morning. Do 9. You know, I know that doesn't, maybe the video is not there, but you can find a 9 minute video.
You hold that plank an extra second.
Exactly. And if you're going to do 5 mile running, do 5 miles and 200 yards more, yeah. something like that. Something where you can go, I exceeded what I thought I would do. I'm going to do 10 reps, but I go for 11. I'm going to do 5 rounds of the circuit, but I do 6. Those little ways is installing like this discipline within your head that you're saying, not only am I achieving what I want to achieve, I'm going that extra bit further.
I'm excelling.
And you think if you, these simple little hacks almost, that if you can implement these into your life, that we're talking about find that extra half an hour a day and do that extra rep or that extra mile or something like that, or those extra 5 minutes in the morning. They're two wins within that half an hour that have taken your mindset just up a notch.
Do you know how you gain another half an hour in the morning? Because some people will be like, no way, I'm not getting an extra half an hour in the morning. It's just, I don't have that time. So I had a really great tip where basically, say you get up at 7:30, your alarm's set for 7:30, right? Each day, you set your alarm at 7:29. The next day, you set your alarm at 7:28. The next day, you set
your alarm. Go gradual.
Right, you have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, if that works for you.
Because it isn't about being the best, you know, and some people fake out and that's, and they say, like, that's the best I can do. Well, it's the best you can do right now, but is that all you can do? And I think when you change the language of that and you go, is that all I can do? Well, no. Tomorrow, I can do more. And the day after that, the rest, I can probably do more. So take, I don't know, squats, for example, pull-ups. Because we do a lot of pull-ups. Obviously, because we're Marines.
Yeah. In Tomo's home gym.
Yeah. So
it's also, go on.
One day you're doing like, oh, the best I can do is five pull-ups. Well, is that all you can do? Because if you take a rest and then you can do 5 more pull-ups,
and also
like
where,
10 minutes later.
Where do you see your limitations, right? Because someone said to me once, like, yeah, how many could you do if you had a gun to your head, right? Or essentially.
How many more could you do if there's a gun to your child's head,
right?
Not your head.
Yeah,
you would double what you would do with a gun
well,
to your own head.
You do more than you think you can do. Your body goes so much further than you think you
You'd
can do.
I allude to children because it's my your inspiration,
your reason,
my inspiration.
Yeah, you got a life to save.
Work
now.
A lot fucking harder. Mm-hmm. Extreme hypothetical sort of example, but
mega.
So, Mr. I can't get up at half an hour in the mornings. So it's like, yeah, but what if you thought that half an hour every day adds up to 182 hours in the year, and that could earn you, you know, that. You know, 500,000 that you want to target.
But like what Tom had just said there, if you can't get up half an hour early in the morning, can you get up 10 minutes earlier?
Firstly, you can.
Yes, you can.
You can. We're talking about half a fucking hour.
But there will be someone listening who will argue that, I don't have the time. But could you get up 5 or 10 minutes earlier? Would that 5 or 10 minutes...
That's 5 or 10 minutes more than you did last year.
And go to bed 5 or 10 minutes later, you've earned 20 minutes in the day.
Yeah.
It's there to have if you want to find it. The difference, and this sort of goes back to the original point of procrastination and laziness and what is it? Are they merged? Just getting shit done. Is if you want it, you'll find it. I haven't got half an hour in the morning, but you could find 15. And in the evening, you could find 15, which Bang. Gives you your half an hour in a day. Mm. So but are you making correct reasons for not finding this time, or are you just avoiding the idea that you can find it? Because there's those types of people which will go and fucking find it now and go, of course, I've been overlooking this, here it is. And there'll be people who'll go, nah. Simple.
Yeah.
But that goes back to, like, is the target inspiring enough? Because I remember doing it for Royal Marines training. You know, the pass marker, you have this thing called, before you go and get accepted on Royal Marines training, you have what's known as a potential Royal Marines course, mm-hmm. which is 3 days spent down at Limpston. And there are certain physical tests which you need to pass at that time. And I had just come back from Spain, eaten way too much paella. And
paella.
I had my PRMC in the November. This was friggin' June. And I was like, how am I going to get running at 3 miles in the time that it needs to take, do 10 pull-ups, 60 press-ups, and 80 sit-ups? You have to start the things, you know, there's no way I could do that straight in one go. But you have to have that sort of connection to, I have to pass that then, so I need to get busy now. Time is a massive factor in this. Time is a factor in all of it. That's what I'm coming to realise.
Do we have any homework?
Yeah, I think we've got homework, man.
we're going to start basic with this one.
Mega.
Because I think this type of stuff is just installing basic ways of doing things. Anyone listening, all four of you, if you're a procrastinator or you're not a procrastinator, just test yourself with the bin. Test yourself with the dishwasher. Test yourself with things that you look at which are mundane as fuck. We are not talking about the big goals you want to achieve right now. What this is talking about is establishing those good habits, that mindset that strengthens you to then go forward. You're training your brain by doing the shit things. So there's admin tasks, there's emails within your inbox which you can't be asked to answer. There's people you need to ring. I know, hypocritical. I know, yeah. You're giving me that funny look.
I'm gonna point at you.
Yeah, but there's people you need to ring that we've been putting off. There's the bin needs taken out, the dog needs feeding, all these types of things. Just train yourself for the next week before the next podcast to do just one or two of these things with clinical efficiency. You know, bring that commando mindset into it. Go, take the fucking bin out. Done. Tie the knot. Out it goes.
But brilliant. But how many people don't think of the bin? How many people go, don't
no, but so many people will be going, of course, I do that all the time.
Now,
but if you can do that simple hack,
it'll help you grow to the bigger goals. So why are we trying to aim for something so big when we're not getting the little things right?
Yes.
Soldiering for us is exactly that. If you can't do the basics, you won't be able to do the high level tactics.
Yeah.
If you can't do the basic soldiering of getting out of wet clothes into dry clothes and back out of dry clothes into wet clothes, it's fucking simple. All you got to do is get dressed. It's as simple as that. But if you can't do that, the knock-on effect is you will get ill. That means there's someone lost from the section. The real bad thing is that you pass that illness on to someone else, then you've got two people down, so on and so on and so on, and you become battle inefficient. So, but this idea of doing the most basic things correctly saves your life in battle.
It's going to help so many people listening to this who like have goals that they're not achieving and they're not sure why they're not achieving it and they thought they were efficient. Da, 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 and it's like, oh, but I'm really good at making sure I don't procrastinate on big things. It's like, yeah, but are you getting the basics right? Let's go back to step one, empty the fucking bin.
I think a really good example of when you've told me this one about the stone in the shoe. It's the most simple thing, but it leads to major, major consequences.
We can finish on that, can't we?
Yeah, I think it's a worthwhile thing to finish on.
Tell me.
So as I had this real, for my recruits in the Marines are called nods because they fall asleep all the time. So with my nods, I had this thing. Because I'd been hit by an IED in the past, I'd been blown up with my section. I'd suffered injuries possibly because I'd missed the mark or I'd missed a sign. And we spoke about this before. My boss had been hit maybe because I stepped over it and didn't see it. All these types of things. I had a real nagging thing in my head that I want my recruits when I train them to be clinical in what they're doing. And I always used to pick them up. They'd get issued these trainers. I felt sorry for them. They're like, the bottom of them were like squash soles. So there was like real thin, tiny grooves, groove, 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 groove. It wasn't like big treads, were they? They were just groove after groove after groove. And where they run, they would pick up tiny little stones and like these stones would get wedged in the grooves. And they would clean these like, if you want to know what immaculate looks like, go and see Royal Marines recruits because they will clean shit. They will clean dirt and make dirt clean somehow. They're incredible at doing it. But I used to have this thing that the trainers were white. And so you know when trainers have been cleaned and they're white trainers because they're just gleaming at you. And I'd flip them over and you'd see it white, so you know they're clean. And then I'd just go straight to the sole and look in these grooves. And if I found one single stone, that's all it took, was that one tiny, tiny, maybe millimeter wide stone, they'd failed the inspection for some degree. I know there's going to be people listening now, and I know some of my hierarchy were like, oh, you can't fucking fail them on that.
Pebble inside a groove but in my the head, bottom of the shoe.
My head, the knock-on effect was that eye for detail saves lives in battle. That eye for detail saves my friends' lives who I'm passing you out of training to go and work with. If you can spend that extra 30 seconds looking at the bottom of your shoe to go, where is that stone that he's going to find? You're probably more likely to spot the tripwire. You're probably more likely to see the muzzle flash from a rifle in a bush. You're probably more likely to see the slightly unearthed pressure plate that everyone else has missed because you're training your eye for detail. And I remember one recruit who was necky enough to go, fucking hell, corporal, it's just a stone. And that's when I sort of opened up my secret up to that point, which I kept quiet, was explaining him quite one way the reason behind it.
It is not just a shoe.
It's not a stone. I couldn't, do you know, I couldn't give a fuck how clean your shoes are to a degree.
Yeah, of course
I really don't care. But what I do care is that you've taken the time and diligence. Diligence was a word we used a lot to spot that. Because that proves to me and the rest of the instructors that you've got an eye for detail when it counts.
So they would invest. Pebbles out of your shoes, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be checking your shoes in a minute.
Go back to basics. Thank you.